Welcome to Empowered, Mind-Body Inspiration. The mind is the map to wholeness, wellness, health. The heart is the key to genius and inspiration. Join me and my guests as we explore how to release and rewire into who you truly are, unique, whole, and empowered. Please like, share, and subscribe. Spiral up, spiral out. Welcome, Spiral Uppers. Today we have Eureka Sullivan, author of the book Wisdom Beyond What You Know, How to Shift from being driven by the mind to living from the heart and intuition. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Jane. I'm excited to be here having a conversation with you today.
Yes, this is the most beautiful topic. I love it. So when did you have this shift from this mind-based reality to heart-based? And I understand there's quite the backstory because you were in corporate America or, you know, in business, and then the universe called, right?
Yes. Yes. And this shift has been a gradual journey for me, but I would say that somewhere in 2012 and that period of 2012 to 2017, and after 2017, it really, so let's say 5 years ago, it really turned into a very significant journey for me. But I would say all the way back to 2012. Yeah. So yeah. 10 years ago.
Yeah. So what happened? So you say it was gradual, but, you know, maybe there was something that was an aha moment.
Yes. Yeah. So as you mentioned in the beginning here, I was kind of that woman who was following the template, if you will, in terms of how we define success. And I had a great career as a scientist in the corporate world, in pharmaceutical industry. I had, you know, business travel, multitasking, a young family. So my life back then was very much, I would say, according to the template in terms of how society sometimes identify and define success. And I would also say that when I was at my most, I call myself that I was on autopilot, because that's really how it felt. I was on autopilot in the sense that I was not really connected to who I truly was, my true self. And I didn't realize that until I had my rock bottom. And that was back a few years now. And my rock bottom really hit where it mattered the most to me. And for me, that was my career. I was completely identified, and my self-identity was very much hung up on my career. And I wasn't really tapping into all parts of myself at the time. But a rock bottom happened, and I lost my job in a restructuring of my company, and I didn't see it coming. And is many of you might say, well, it's just a job. But for me, it was my whole self-identity. Mm. So that really launched me into an opportunity. And the opportunity was, am I going to learn more about tapping into those parts of myself that I'm not tapped into at the moment? Or am I just going to kind of call myself a victim and everything is happening to me, right? Instead of for me. And luckily, what I know today is that there's so much more, was so much, much more to me in terms of what I had inside me to tap into. And at the time, at my rock bottom, and I'm sure if you're listening to this, many of you have had a rock bottom, and there is a learning within that environment that is an invitation, basically, to learn something new about ourselves. And that's what happened to me. And after that, the journey started of self-discovery, of really becoming who I am today and tapping into my true self and shifting. And why I say it was a gradual journey, because this is not like a flip of a switch, right? Mm-hmm. What happened was actually there was a lot of signs and synchronicities that was just starting to show up in front of me. And at the time, I was so open to kind of, okay, what is my next chapter? I know it's something new, but all of these signs and synchronicities just really led me to where I am today.
Yeah. And with those synchronicities, was there, you know, if you follow them, often there's a feeling inside that you can say it just feels right, or expansion or warmth, or, you know, that kind of thing. Did that happen as well?
Absolutely. And that was a new feeling for me, a new discovery about myself that, because if I just draw the parallel to my previous life, I never was connected to any science and synchronicity. I was too busy, too disconnected from myself to even notice that there was any signs and synchronicities around me. But yes, when I first realized that, you know, life is trying to take me into a completely new direction. And when I got that confirmed to me, for example, I was in New York City and I was at this workshop that I all of a sudden just had been led to sign up for. And then on my way home in the car, I was elated because I knew this was a big step. This workshop was a big step on my journey. And as I was driving on the highway and on my way home, I was singing in the car and all of that. And I drove by a billboard. It just came up and it says, "Don't wait, make a plan." And that was like another synchronicity and sign to me, like, this is your time. It's time for you to bloom, expand. And, you know, this is how it works, right? When we have aligned ourselves to our path, that energy of flow, signs, that recognition that you were mentioning inside ourselves, that, oh, I'm on the right path. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Yeah. Well, you know, and the template is something that unless you have a very awakened parents, but, you know, that whole template, what is success and what chance do we have really of following your path early, you know, because society does place such heavy weight upon doing this, doing that, earning so much money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it often comes with that rock bottom that we manage to pull ourselves into this new direction, unfortunately.
Yeah. And what I've learned also is now that it does not have to be through a rock bottom, but it's for many, and I consider myself being part of the generation that is more that bridge in between our previous way of living, the template, if you will, to the new. So for many of us that are in that generation, it will happen through a rock bottom. but what I've learned for those in coming generations, it's not going to be this huge transformation or huge, you know, knock on your head to kind of, okay, wake up now. It's going to be a lot earlier in life or even ever, right? The younger generations come in with a completely different awareness of what's possible than what previous generations have had a chance to kind of grow into. So I think for each individual, depending on our soul's journey and what our soul is meant to, our life lessons, basically, it depends on what that journey is going to look like for each individual.
Yeah. And the important thing is just to ask, isn't it? And then listen to the signs. So what?
Absolutely.
Yes. So what were your big signs? What was the workshop? And then you made a plan.
Well, it was the workshop was really on a topic, which was, you know, spiritual development that I had never, you know, I'm a scientist. I was identifying myself as a, you know, a corporate person, scientist, you know, all mind-based, even if I couldn't see it, it was just the way, right, back then. But here I was at this workshop that had to do with, you know, law of attraction or spiritual development or, you know, all of those kind of topics that I had been starting to be kind of tapping into. And the epiphany there was that this is me. And the story continues, because what I've discovered about myself now is that I'm an intuitive, right? I'm a healer. I am. And all of those things, I had this strong feeling that this, I already know this. I already know it. And I can't tell you how many topics I've come through my path since this journey started, that I have been able to just pick up quickly, like in a snap. And that is often also it's like a recognition, right? You align to something that you either have done or known a lot about in the past lives, or it's just aligned with your natural energy, because right. That's also a sign that if you pick up something real quick, it's just part of you, or it's just aligned with who you are.
Right. And another signpost, follow that.
Yeah. And really that's how we find out that recognition within, right? Okay. This feels easy. This feels like I've known it before. I'm curious about it. I'm excited about it. That's all signs that it's, in alignment. While, as opposed to me in the past, try to really push myself into a cube, right? You have to have the degrees and you have to have a certain path. And even if it's not aligned with my natural energy, it was like this urge to just kind of push through. And that's a very different energy than just coming across and allowing that curiosity to take over.
Right. So awesome. So were there challenges along the way? Things that, you know, had to be overcome, because this was quite a new way of living.
Absolutely. And I think the struggle, like for everyone, is that self-doubt sometimes, that can I really do this? Because I remember one of my milestones was I had always been into practicing yoga, not always, but in many, many years ago, I started practicing yoga, and then I fell away from it, having young kids and family and all that. And I went back to yoga. And I had never seen myself as a teacher ever in that respect. And my path, I was asked, like, Ulrika, aren't you going to sign up for our new teacher training, yoga teacher training? And I was like, what? No way. And I ended up being invited to that because, the host of this training, like, you really would be a great fit for this. And I was like, no way. And the lack of belief that we can shift the perspective of who we are is something that I had to overcome, right? I said, well, I negotiated myself into it because, well, maybe I'll just take this training to deepen my practice, right? My mind couldn't get around it by kind of, okay, it's going to be for me. But I had never really thought of me as a, and this is just an example, right? And I had never seen myself as this teacher. But here I was then, some years after, like teaching classes and, you know, sharing the practice of yoga and philosophy and all of that. And it's like, that's a testament to, once we align ourselves to what we are meant to be and bring forth, we do it with such ease. And that's really what I want for everyone, to whatever it is, right? Doesn't have to be yoga teacher, but whatever it is that we are here to share or contribute with. It's feeling so easy and it's feeling like we are in flow.
Yes, so beautiful. So what would you say to someone who is interested but doesn't know even how to take the first step? And it's really about finding your soul purpose, isn't it?
Yes, and I think the first step, and I write about it in my book too, and I still strongly, so strongly feel it's like that's the gateway, and that is the shift we have to go through first. And it's a choice, right? Whether we want to stay in the comfort zone or if we want to make a commitment to ourselves for change. And it's like this, I call it a point of no return. Because when I felt this point of no return feeling within me that I could not see myself go back to my previous life, my previous way of approaching life, that's when I knew that it was just going down the other way, which was to learn more about myself, discover who I truly was. And that is, I found over and over again, that really is the crossroad, if you will, for somebody to evolve, is that willingness to ask ourselves the questions like how did I become who I am now, and where am I going, or who am I? All those questions. Because if we're not starting to ask ourselves those questions, we're going to just, you know, be like a rubber band going back in the comfort zone.
Right.
So I think that's really you know, the first step, and how that could look practically. Because a lot of people ask, like, what do I need to do? Because it sounds great, like you need to step out of a comfort zone, but there's still this question, like, how do I do that? And I usually, I'm very dedicated to teach others to make space for themselves in their own life, and especially women. Right. Which means, and it's not like, oh, I'm going to go to movies on my day off or my own time. No, it is that time when we create space for ourselves in our own life by being inward focused. And that could look different for different people, but I'm a big proponent of meditation, but that's just the way my gateway into this inward journey is through meditation, but it could be happening in nature. If that's how somebody is really getting into listening to our own inner conversation. And that's one of the first steps. Some people are into journaling, and I teach others also this intuitive journaling, which is where you simply are downloading from your soul rather than kind of trying to figure out what to write.
Right. And then, so and when you journal, it's about listening.
Yes.
What's coming forward rather than trying to, like, your mind works so differently, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and often it's in a whisper.
Totally.
What comes forward. One of the things I, like, whenever I get to a crossroads or feel like I'm unsure of, you know, where I should be heading next, I'll ask the universe, how can I help? What, you know, so that ties into what is your soul purpose? Because I believe that we come with a purpose that when we fulfill it, then we're adding to the wholeness of the, you know, of the puzzle or the oneness. You know what I mean?
Beautifully said. Yes. Yeah.
And then when we're each doing that, we're not competing in any way. We're just adding to what's needed here on the planet.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So is that one of the questions? Or it's probably very similar to one of the, you know, it's all very similar, you know, to something that you may have put in your book. I just wondered if you could.
Yes. And I think what you're pointing out here too is somewhat you know, the contribution that we are going to do to the whole. What comes before that is really to learn more about ourselves and how we became who we are, and but also this to receive this clear channel of listening and aligning ourselves to our purpose. Most of us have life lessons that we need to kind of go through, or limitations that we need to ease up on to truly step into that, our full potential. And that's what's called a journey, right? We learn more about ourselves, what patterns and habits we have that are not serving us anymore, or invitations to shift into another mindset or another way of being, or listening to our intuition in a different way instead of keep going down the template, right? So it's this purification process, if you will, that we have to be willing to step into to be as pure, if you will, at the end of the day, where we can feel that we can feel comfortable and at ease and in flow with ourselves and others.
Yeah.
And so it's easy to focus on, okay, what's my contribution going to be at the end of the day? Before, and we can't really step into that potential until we've done our own work. That's just how I feel. It's necessary to become sovereign first. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And often we don't go to those places unless, you know, we hit a bit of a roadblock and
yes,
start to question like you did. So those roadblocks and even health crisis can be a gift, right?
Absolutely. Yes. And you're pointing out something critical here, very, very important, that our struggles can actually be gifts. And once we start to view our struggles as gifts or more guideposts or, you know, markers for what we are here to heal, then that becomes, you know, there's no bad, no good anymore. It's more like the whole. We can learn from the whole rather than only the bad things that the mind wants to tell us things are bad, or the celebrations we have. So it's a shift there in terms of what our life experience is all about. It's about learning, not to kind of go around and struggle and suffer. Right. So, yeah. Great point.
Yeah. And learning often comes from those places as well, doesn't it? So when you say take care of yourself energetically, you're saying take that time to reflect inwardly. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that it's part of it, but it's not the whole story, because when I say, I talk, one of the chapters in the book is about how do we become energetically aware? And it's part of knowing how to put energetic boundaries in place. Because many of us, let's say, have you ever come home from work or from a big gathering or a public event and come home and feel drained?
Yes. I mean, we all have.
Yeah. Right. So I think many can say yes to that question. And what has happened when we are feeling drained, having been out and or having had a difficult conversation or something like that, and feel drained, we have given our power away. And when we give our power away, we also give our energy away, right? So it's all linked together. So part of becoming energy aware is to learn how to keep our energy in any situation so that we can stand in our sovereignty, and not, because in relationship, there is this energy exchange, right? And many of us are very unaware of how we give our energy away to others. And once we start to learn the tools and be more aware of what is the impact I'm having on others? And am I unconsciously giving my energy away to somebody when I could keep it? Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I always end the podcast with don't give your power away to anyone else. Be the creator of your own life. It's such a beautiful point. And it's not about fighting for your power, is it? It's about,
no,
right? It's just about going to that heart-centered place and expressing your sovereignty or who you are or what you think, right? And,
yes.
And not necessarily following some game plan of something of someone else, or like it could be a doctor, it could be a politician, it can be, we know what's best for us.
Absolutely. And also, I think when we can feel this energy exchange the most is with our immediate family or close friends or so. And, we have a lot of patterns that I mentioned that earlier in terms of if we can be aware of those patterns. For example, codependency is a big pattern that has to do with energy exchange. And even if we are codependent in a codependent relationship, we can learn how to break that pattern and become sovereign, even if it's with immediate family that we can't, exchange as easily, right? We can't just decide sometimes to not be in somebody's presence, even if that may be necessary sometimes. But it's this awareness also, what impact we have on others. And so simply it is knowing how we run energy and how we share that energy. And sometimes we can also decide, I don't want to share my energy. I'm keeping it to myself in a conversation, for example. And it is that sovereignty. I come back to the word sovereignty because it's key to be able to step into our full potential. And for example, people pleasing is also a very strong pattern where this energy exchange is going on. And we can, with self-awareness, can break those patterns that are not serving ourselves.
Right. Because if you're constantly pleasing, trying to please or do things to please, then you're not even living your inner soul purpose.
Right.
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 You know, for me, I had studied all this, knew all this, but when I had my twins, that codependency that you have with your husband, where you can fulfill each other as much as is needed, right? They're there for you, you're there for them, and you don't realize how reliant you are on that energy coming to you. But for me, when I had twins, really it couldn't be fulfilled. Like there was too much else going on. And that was hard to come through, and then just come to the realization that I was responsible for my own happiness, period. Right? Not that, mm-hmm. not the romantic vision of another person. And I think that's true growing up, but it's a tough time when you first have children. I don't know if you have experience with that, but it's just an example where I really struggled.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I have three girls and they're teenagers now, but yes, the dynamic, the energy that we as a mother have to kind of recalibrate our energy, right? Because the instinctual energy is towards the children, but then there's this, programmed vision of what a romantic relationship should look like, right?
Yeah.
And
programmed
it clashes.
Is a good word.
Yeah.
It clashes.
And I have this, have a very similar insights as you, and what I've come to realize is that, you know, once we learn how to source that self-love that is needed within ourselves, instead of believing that it will be coming from outside, whether it's from a partner, husband, or friends or whatever, it's that external validation of love that really we can learn how to source it from within ourselves. And that's huge.
Yeah, it is huge. And it takes all the fear out of, you know, that's hiding or lurking in the background. You know, what if I don't do this? They won't love me. Right? Mm-hmm. But when you flip and you love yourself, somehow it takes away all that pressure.
And, yes.
And things get better. But I don't know if that helps anyone out there that's struggling with that, because, you know, divorce can loom at those times until you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Spiral in. So, hon, share some other highlights in your book. I think it would be really helpful for people to go get and explore.
Yes. Yeah. So just quickly, the book is divided into three parts. The first part is speaking to what we just talked about, you know, getting aware of those patterns, the mind-driven rerun patterns, as I call it. And the second part is the fundamentals of heart-centered living. And that's what we're talking about. For example, their energy awareness and how we tune into our body's wisdom instead of always relying on what the mind can figure out, et cetera, et cetera. And intuition and inner knowing and all of that good stuff is in part two. But what I want to mention is part three, because in part three, which I think are really the meat of the book and the where people can really make progress in their lives by doing the exercises in the book, is the seven inner shifts to make the actual shifts from being, for example, the first shift is really what we're talking about here, getting out of the comfort zone and into a commitment to change for ourselves, and which is kind of the epitome of all transformation. But then there's following the six shifts of, getting into self-awareness and how important that is to create this sovereign individual. And often we are in the same environment as we are. It's just an inner journey to sovereignty. And then in shift number four, I talk about this tendency that we many of us have, including myself, to just learn, that there's always something new, a new theory or new practice or new something we're going to learn. But then there comes this time where we need to shift into embodying what we've learned. And that I talk about that in chapter 15. And that's one of the key insights for myself that, you know, I'm a lifelong learner, scientist, you know, with a strong logical mind. But once I started to kind of, okay, I need to really apply what I've learned so far.
Right. I just love that, because often it requires simplifying, doesn't it? Just, and being okay.
Yes.
With it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's when we have to tune in to all of these new insights that we have learned about ourselves. Like, how do I use my intuition? How do I tune into my body? And because it requires the experience of it. And unless we're willing to experience something new, we're not going to become who we truly are. So that's a really important shift. And the remaining three shifts is really to tap into our wisdom instead of always using the logic. And then the really important shift is how we start to attract based on that true self, rather than, you know, the pushing mentality that we have been conditioned to kind of see as a successful way of living. So manifesting is probably also, that's chapter six, is where many people want to go first. many people that come to me and say, hey, I want to manifest a new this, so I want to manifest this, and I want to manifest a new partner in 3 years, all of that, right? Mm. And what I've learned is that there is no shortcut to manifesting. We have to go through these shifts, you know, becoming self-aware, becoming sovereign, embodying. We have to use our own, like tap into our own innate wisdom. And then we start to attract what we want. Then that's what manifesting is really, when we start to attract just by being aligned to who we are and that flow energy of our soul. So that's huge. Yeah.
And that alignment, I find, like, if I want to manifest something, it has to align with my heart and my soul purpose, mm-hmm. or it's not going to manifest, right?
Exactly.
And, yeah. And so being able to know when you're aligned and when you're not is a big part of that too.
Yes.
Like sometimes you're trying to manifest something, but it just inside, it just doesn't feel right. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah.
And then we get into the, you know, the shift in perception of who we actually are, the multidimensional aspects of ourselves, like going, the last shift in the book is talking about going from feeling like an individual to multidimensional. And that's really when we start to talk about oneness and being part of the whole, and feeling that, you know, our cycles in nature, for example, is part of us, and starting to align more to, cycles, I would say, but also feeling inside that we're not just here because of me, right? We're here to contribute. Well, you mentioned so beautifully in the beginning, what we're here to contribute with as one important cog in this big wheel, right? So that is our existence. So all in all, this book is really talking about, in practical way, I call it an actionable spiritual self-help book, because after each chapter, those 18 chapters, there's an exercise, a coaching kind of a real, you can sit with that exercise and actually see real tangible difference in your day-to-day life. If you sit with that exercise, do it and come back to it maybe a few times, right? So I didn't want to present a book with just some theory. I wanted people to be able to take the book and actually do embody. That's the word again, embody the teaching that's in there.
Yeah. And keep at it until you've embodied
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And take what feels right forever.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
How beautiful. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. It sounds like an amazing book that would just, you know, help anyone that's in that place of stuckness, or just wants to be inspired more, or is in a crisis, or, you know, there's so many scenarios that it would be beautiful for. Thank you so much. And how do people find you and your book?
Yes, you can find me on my website, ericasullivan.com. And my book is also on the website, and it's also where books are sold, so you can find it anywhere. I also have a book club that for anyone who's like to kind of, okay, this is for me, I want to go deeper, not just read the book, but, or maybe need some support in terms of really getting into the exercises. So that's a popular choice to make if the book is resonating. So I'm welcoming anyone who wants to join me there. It's a 4-session free kind of small group discussions where we share our experiences based on what's in the book. So that helps to kind of also go deeper with these concepts.
Yeah, that's
lovely. But ericasullivan.com, you're more than welcome to come in and peek at what I do there. I also have a podcast, New Light Living.
Oh, yes.
where, yeah, I talk about all this past year, I've been talking about all of these concepts that I'm teaching in the book. So welcome to listen there too.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you, Jane. This was a delight. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And for everyone out there, don't forget, don't give away your power to anyone else. Be the creator of your own life. Spiral up and spiral out.
Don't give away your power to anyone else. Be the creator of your own life. You can find more inspiring episodes on 14 different platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, and empoweredhealth.com. Be a part of Thrive Tribes. Be the change in Thrivevolution at thrivetribehub.com. And join me and my fellow changemakers at Health Tribe, Body, Mind, and Soul on Facebook. Spiral up, spiral out.